Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys. Lee, Keys, and Evan, Real Talk. I know it's been a while, but we're coming at you tonight with this Wednesday Night Fire. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of what has happened since the last time we talked. So what's going on?
Yo, what's going on, my brother?
I'm just chilling
out here in Boston watching the Ariel Helwani's MMA show right now. Kicking back.
It's kind of funny because I never really watch like other MMA programs for some strange reason. I don't know why I don't watch them, but I just don't. But yeah, I think I'm gonna have to start getting into them.
Yeah, I mean this one, DC and Helwani show. So he has two shows. So I watch both of those a lot, and then there's also another one that I've been. Well, I've also been watching Brendan Schaub's The Food Truck Diaries. I've been watching that one a good amount lately. That's probably one that you should check out. I think you would like that one a lot. Brendan Schaub's Food Truck Diaries. And then one more is they got Big John McCarthy and one other guy that I'm not sure his name. They have a podcast. I forget the name of it, but they got Big John is on there. I've been watching them a little bit.
Okay, that's what's up. What's up, Evan?
How's it going?
It's going, bro. It's going. How you been?
Good. You know, hanging in there, doing it. You know, living life every day, one step at a time.
That's right. That's the only way to go. All right, man. So, who wants to start?
I mean, I would love to start if you don't mind. All right. Well, I think the number one thing to talk about right now, you know, just to start the show, would obviously be the last UFC event, which was Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes. Now we can all admit, I think everyone on this phone call right now, everyone on this show believes that Curtis Blaydes was going to win that fight. He was a hefty favorite. Derek Lewis was a hefty underdog. Your boy put some change down. He won, thankfully. But I mean, talk to me. Were we surprised? Were we shocked? Where does Curtis Blaydes go from here? And who does Derek Lewis fight next? Those are the questions.
Okay. I wasn't shocked
that
Lewis won. I picked Lewis to win. I always felt that if Curtis Blaydes can't take you down, then he's in trouble. And one thing that we do know about Derek Lewis is he can scramble. He can get back to his feet. And I just felt that Blaydes wasn't going to be able to dominate him on the ground. And if he couldn't do it, he was going to get knocked out. I thought Blaydes had the wrong game plan. I would have came out from the time the bell rang, I was looking to take him down. But he tried to stand up, you know, then Lewis rock. Well, Lewis don't have a lot of output. So, hey, man, I don't know what they do with Blaydes from here. Maybe he gets the loser of the Stipe and Ganu fight, maybe. Or maybe he get an up-and-coming heavyweight. But, you know, I think Blaydes still represents – I still think he's a contender in the heavyweight division. Lewis, who does he fight next? I think he sits back. Maybe he takes the win of the Rozenstruik fight. Maybe he takes the win of that fight because we all know John Jones is getting the win of the Ngannou Stipe. So maybe Lewis will get the winner of the Rozenstruik. I can't remember who he's fighting. And I think that'll be probably a fight that he'll take in the
game.
Yeah. So I think he'll take the winner of that fight.
And that's yet another guy that I wrote about, you know, in my short skit as a MMA blogger/journalist. I wrote about Cyril Gane. Told y'all he was going to be good. Well, look at that. He's 7-0. He's fighting Rosenstrike. Debatably, it's a title contention fight. Not a number one contender, but it's definitely a title contention fight. And also, another one I wrote about is on this card. Well, it's a different card, but Kenny is on a 3-fight win streak. I wrote about him when he was coming in with his debut. He's on a 3-fight win streak, and he's about to get the biggest look of his life fighting an all-time great Dominic Cruz at UFC 259. So I just had to throw that out there. And on top of that, that was – I actually didn't even have a reaction to the fight to go into that point. I didn't even have a reaction because I wasn't even I watched about like the first round or like half of the first round, and I was kind of on like a little double date situation. So I was out there mingling and playing some card games. So I really wasn't and drinking rosé. So I was having a you know, there was some quality of life stuff happening there. And yeah, I really wasn't tuned into the fight. That was the first, that was actually the first round of fights I watched that entire day, was the first round of the main event. And then when I saw that he was kicking Derek Lewis's legs off, I was like, okay. I went back in, I walked out of the room, and then all of a sudden I heard, oh, and then I was like, okay, I bet anything that Blaze just got caught with a big shot, and he's probably unconscious. And they said he was unconscious. And I continued sipping my rosé and shuffling decks of cards, and it was a fruitful evening. And I really didn't have any reaction.
All right, Evan, floor is yours. That's all you got.
repeat the question for me.
What do you mean? Yo, Lee, I got this right. What he means to say is that the Derek Lewis win was a fluke, and that nine out of 10 times Lewis loses that fight. That's what Evan was trying to say, but he was trying to be overly polite. What it was.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. That was exactly what I was going to say. Actually. My thoughts, honestly, were I was, like, if you saw the beginning of the fight, I truly thought that that Curtis Blaydes was on his way to a second round, you know, finish. It just seemed like it was just the proof was in the pudding. Like, it just seemed like it was coming. Like, he was, you know, beating him on the feet. You know, he tried to get a takedown, didn't work. But he went for that terrible, like, he went for the takedown, but it was just a terrible setup, head first, and Lewis landed the perfect uppercut. But here we are, you know. You know, on the topic of who should Lewis fight next? Personally, I think it makes more sense for him to fight the winner of the Cyril Gane versus, Rosenstrike, because number one, he's not going to rematch Volkov, who's on the win streak, because Volkov just beat Ream. I do not see any reason for him to fight over Ream. I think that's a terrible idea. So I think it makes most sense because fight the winner of Gane and them, and they kind of get that big win on their record. You know, Lewis is a household name in the heavyweight division. He, you know, he's fought everyone. He fought JDS, Mark Hunt. He fought for the title against DC. Like, he, you know, that name recognition will benefit those two up and comers. So, yeah, I think he should fight the winner of that one. And I don't know what I don't know what you do with Curtis Blaydes, though. That one's a tough one right now because that one kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah. The heavyweight division right now, I mean, if you really look at it, it's kind of like lackluster right now, using Key's word of the day today. definitely lackluster, because I think you probably got maybe five or six bona fide guys that could possibly be champions. But after those five or six guys, it's like they just names. They just fighters to me. It's unlike the 155 division, the 135 division. You know, it's just we got to wait and see which one of these young guys, like Aspinall, somebody like that, who's going to step forward and put his name out there as an up and comer. Because right now, everybody that we talked about is like vets. They're all veterans, except maybe Gane. I think he maybe probably got less than six fights in the UFC, I think. So we just got to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, it's kind of sad with the – yeah, go ahead. I mean, go ahead.
No, you're good.
All right. Sad with the heavyweight division, because you really don't have – the heavyweights, you know, I feel like they've had guys, like, look like they were going to be big in the division. Like, one that comes to mind is Tai Tuivasa. He was a guy that I thought was, like, okay, he's going to be a contender in the division. And then he kind of was, like, up and down a little bit. And then, you know, it's just, like, guys like that where it's, like, the heavyweight, they're just kind of inconsistent. Like, even Volkov, like, a lot of people make it seem like Volkov is, like, you know, a top five, like, caliber guy. Like, I don't really think he's a top five caliber guy. Like, I mean, I didn't see the Overeem fight, but I don't think I really needed to see it, to be honest. I mean, Volkov is another one of those guys who it's, like, he might have a really good night, or he might just completely drop the ball and have just a very, very subpar performance. So, I mean, heavyweight kind of has a lot of those guys, I hate to say it, where it's just like they're inconsistent. You know, they'll look really good one night. Even Overeem, he just went on this long run, you know, but then all of a sudden, you know, he had a bad showing. So versus Volkov. So it's, you know, the heavyweight division is just too inconsistent. And they really don't have any solid guys who are going on win streaks and who are going to show up every time. Like Lee said, besides those, you know, three, four guys at the top of the division, three, four, maybe five guys at the top of the division, you really don't have anybody else, you know. So heavyweight's kind of in a slump right now, if you ask me.
And just to piggyback off that real quick before Evan goes, you know, I was high on Walt Harris, man. I mean, Walt had that tragedy, you know, that happened to him. You know, God bless him and his family. But at the time, you know, he was, like, on the uptick. Then he came back, and now he done lost, like, two fights in a row. He hasn't looked good. And it's like, damn. So there go another guy that we probably have some fans had high expectations for, who's just fell off. So, you know, it's just hard to get behind some of these heavyweights. What you say, Evan?
I agree. You know, like Keith was saying, there's just not, you know, I think the term of the day for our group chat has been lackluster. And I like that one. Heavyweight, the problem with heavyweight is it's just been a stagnant division for a very long time now. Like ever since, like, you know, JDS and Kane and Verdum, you know, have gone and, you know, they came and went, you know, they're just not at the level anymore. It's just been a totally different division. You know, it's been fun with Stipe. You know, he went on the great streak and then, you know, he lost to DC but then got it back and then retained it. But now you got to do the Francis rematch, and God knows we need something better than last fight, because that last fight was not good. You just got to keep building up we need more heavyweights. Just not enough heavyweights are just talented. Like, they're just not exciting. Like, you have two guys, and I think he's mentioned one of them was Tom Aspinall. I believe he trains with Darren Till, one that is you know, high prospect. He just finished Arlovsky with a choke. And that one was actually a pretty interesting finish, because Arlovsky turned into it, and immediately, like, before Tom even started, like, squeezing, Arlovsky immediately just taps once, and then it's just, like, F. because he knew he was caught. He didn't even try to fight it, which I don't know why I thought that was interesting. But regardless, and then another big one for me, if you guys check the rankings, a guy named Chris Dukakis, I'm probably butchering the last name. He's actually
yeah, he
a Philadelphia.
Beat
yeah, he just beat Olenek. He's a Philadelphia police officer who has some very crisp boxing. And, you know, he's on a 3-fight win streak currently in the UFC with all 3 fights being by knockout all in the first round. So it's, he's in the rankings. And what's interesting to me about those two gentlemen is that after, because they both fought on the same card, is that after both of them won, immediately I see in the comments, oh, they need to match each other together. And it's like, no, you don't match them together. Number one, Chris Dawkins just beat 10th-ranked Oynik in the first round, so he's becoming number 10. Arlovski was not ranked, and Tom is obviously not ranked. So you're not going to give Aspinall the 10th-ranked guy after beating Arlovski. It just doesn't work that way. And Dukakis has already said that he's going up from here. So I'd have to look at the rankings. But, oh, man, heavyweight is just stagnant right now. Just we need to get this rematch over with, and we go from there.
All right, Keys. I know it's been a while since this fight took place, and we talked. So I'm just going to ask a simple question. Who should be next for Usman after his dominating victory over Burns? Who do you think the UFC should put path next?
I mean, there's really nobody there, honestly, if you look at it. I mean, I think in the last couple of shows, I've referenced you saying this, like, at least once in each of the last few shows, but I'm about to say it again. The UFC reminds me of boxing so much these days. It's unbelievable. It really does. Lee was saying this 4 years ago when we started. He was like, you know, I'm afraid that the UFC is just going to become like boxing, and all these guys are just going to be ducking each other and making excuses and trying to pick and choose fights. And year by year, we have seen that come to fruition almost exactly. And if you look at the welterweight division, it's a perfect example. You see all the top guys don't want to fight each other. Usman, I'm not sure. I don't know. But this is what I seem to be seeing. Usman does, wants to fight Masvidal again. Then he doesn't want to fight Masvidal again. I heard they offered it and he turned it down. So that's one thing. Even though he's not saying he has to fight him, I'm just pointing out the fact that none of these guys want to fight each other, right? So Usman turns down Masvidal, right? Masvidal more or less turns down the Covington fight. Okay, Covington turns down Edwards. Turns down, Masvidal. Everybody's turning down everybody at the top of the welterweight division. And then, you have guys that are coming out of the woodwork, like my boy Bilal Muhammad. And I really like this guy. I really like Bilal Muhammad. I actually been following him on Twitter for a while, and he's actually mysteriously good with his fight picks. Yeah, if you guys don't follow him, I think you should follow him. And anybody listening, if you don't follow Muhammad, I think you should follow Bilal Muhammad because his fight picks are pretty on point. I don't know how he does it, but anyways, you got guys like him that have to come out of the woodwork, and I don't even know where he is in the rankings, but he's not a top five guy, and he's has to come out of the woodwork to save the fight because Leon Edwards, is trying to fight Khamzat, and then, Khamzat's basically Habib 2.0 because he's just pulling out of fights left and right. So Khamzat is doing that, right, and he's doing that thing. So then Leon Edwards has to fight Bilal Muhammad, which is fine, but it's sad that you can't see the top guys fight the top guys. You have to outsource in the division and go lower down the rankings and try to find a guy who really isn't even debatably at that level yet. Has to come in and fight, I think Usman. I really don't know. I don't know if Usman. I mean, I guess if Leon Edwards beats Bilal Muhammad, which I'm not saying that he's going to or he's not, But if he does win that one, I mean, I think it makes some sense to do Usman and versus Edwards too. You know, it's been years since they fought. Maybe do the rematch. But you know, if not that, then you really only have two other guys there, because I don't want to see any of these welterweights fight without getting a win. You know, Covington, I don't even remember when Covington last fought, so I don't really want to talk about him fighting for the title. And Masvidal hasn't fought again either, and he got dominated, so I don't really want to see him fighting for the title either. If anything, those two guys should be fighting each other. But, you know, the politics, you know, boxing, UFC now, so nobody wants to fight anybody. So, really, if you look at guys who haven't fought, you have Wonderboy is there. He's actually, you know, pushing heavy for an Usman fight now. What's that? What's the other one there that your boy? Michael Chiesa. Michael Chiesa is there. I'm pretty sure he's like ranked number 6 or something. He's right in the mix with those guys. Michael Chiesa is there. And then Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad. So I think those are the only fights. If you're talking Usman fighting at welterweight, those are the only fights. Either that or he just sits out and waits for somebody to do something spectacular.
Okay. Let me throw this out there before you go, Evan.
Okay.
I think this is the best time for the UFC to go against the grain. This is the time in the division the UFC should have a Grand Prix tournament. You, the winner, gets $1 million. That way, you have all these guys fighting each other. I know a Grand Prix tournament is something the UFC doesn't like, but I think this is the vision that you give it a shot with, because that's the only way you probably going to get these guys to fight each other. Who turns down a title fight? Let's be honest. Who turns down a title fight? Masvidal turned down a title fight. Really? All right, Evan, you go, man. I just wanted to throw that out there before you went. But I think this is the vision that the UFC should break their tradition or their stance on tournaments, and I think this is the perfect time to have a Grand Prix tournament.
No, I honestly agree. Bellator loves doing the things, and I think they're so much fun. The tournaments, but you know, to the obviously, like, I think number one, if you want to keep Usman active, and if he wants to be active, I don't see why you don't feed him Wonderboy and just see what happens. The only guy, like, with, like, you know, sizable name recognition in the welterweight division that he hasn't fought yet, besides Michael Chiesa, but I don't think people really respect Chiesa enough yet. So I don't see why not. You don't just feed one, you know, give him Wonderboy, you know, sell that pay-per-view. And while you're doing that, you know, get a fight for Chiesa. Then it's the tournament. I agree wholeheartedly. Like, I'm got to break down everything, but no, it's just tournament. Please, UFC, do a tournament. Give someone $1 million. Let's go.
You know what fight? I got to put this there. Chiesa versus Burns. I think that's a good fight.
Yeah, like, because Burns just coming off a loss and Chiesa coming off a win. I like that fight. But back to Khamzat, man. Actually, they say he is really having bad side effects from COVID. They said they had to put him on some kind of medication to stabilize his breathing. So, you know, man, we wish him for the best for him, that he come back healthy. But, you know, after the Usman Burns fight, I tweeted out, man, just get Edwards the title shot, man. I'm tired of Edwards sitting around not fighting. Nobody wants to take a fight with him. I was just like, just give him the title shot. Hell, what you got to lose? He's still a top five guy. It ain't like we ain't never seen a top five guy fight the champion before. You know, not the number one contender fight the champion. So I just hate this division. I really don't like to use the word hate, but I really hate this division, man. It's a division of all big mouths and no action. Everybody talk a good game, but nobody willing to get in there, tape on the gloves, and figure out who the best. Masvidal is talk. Covington is talk. Only person that don't talk a lot is Burns. Burns, I mean, Ed was talking a lot because he just want to fight. I mean, Nate talk a lot. It's just a division full of talkers, dog. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, now that we done got that off our chest, I'll discuss with the welterweight division. Let's move on to something that my man Keys brought up on our group chat that we're going to share with our audience tonight. Keys is in favor of the returning TJ Dillashaw fighting Rob Font. I don't think the UFC would give him Font. I think they're going to go another way. But the way that I hope they don't go, I'm going to let Keys say it. But go ahead, Keys. Sell us on Rob Font versus TJ Dillashaw.
I mean, I think the reason that you want to see that one is just because, I mean, it's these other top guys, like, when you look at it, what they've really been doing recently, I mean, bantamweight has been really good. I think it's been really entertaining. But at the same time, like, there's really no fights for him up there. Like, Jan, I mean, I would think that he's in talks of, like, who his fight, his next fight is going to be right now. And if you're trying to get back soon, I mean, there's really nobody, there's no big fight for him there. I mean, Jan and Sterling are going to fight, you know, in a couple weeks. You know, a lot of these guys haven't looked so great. I mean, Jimmy Rivera would have been a good fight for him, you know, 2 years ago when he was on that run. But Jimmy Rivera, you know, has been inconsistent here lately. Sun Tzu been, you know, got viciously KO'd by Garbrandt. You know, he's been kind of up and down. Garbrandt's, you know, moving to flyweight, you know, and he's like 1-4 in his, or 1-3 in his last four. So I don't think you do that fight. Faber's, you know, like 50 years old or something like that. So you probably don't do that fight either. I mean, really, who is there for TJ to fight, for being honest, at bantamweight? Like, I just named off pretty much all the top guys. I mean, I don't really see who else there is. I think Rob Font's the only fight. That's the only fight to make. Besides giving TJ or Cruz. I mean, Cruz is there. I shouldn't say that. Cruz. But Cruz has been up and down, too. I mean, he just got finished by Cejudo, you know, who also finished TJ. So, I mean, what? So Cruz is going to, you know, if Cruz beats Casey Kenney, you're going to give him TJ. I mean, I don't know. I don't think any of these guys really done anything, you know, spectacular here lately to really make that a star-studded fight. But I think Rob Font, you know, has looked like a beast. And, you know, the way he just got Marlon Moraes out of there, I think that's the fight to make. You know, I think that's the only guy who, you know, hasn't been finished bad lately, you know, hasn't had, you know, very any suspect performances lately. So out of all the bantamweights. So, I guess Sandhagen's there too, but at the same time, he just got finished too. So you really can't even take Sandhagen because last time I saw him, you know, he beat Frankie Edgar, but come on, man. Frankie Edgar was a featherweight like 5 minutes ago, and then now he's number seven at the band. I mean, come on, man. This is crazy. Yeah, Edgar got finished. So all these guys, we've seen all these guys unconscious, you know, within their last two fights. The only guy we haven't seen unconscious is Rob Font. So I think I just sold the fight right there, if we're being honest.
I like the idea of Font versus Dillashaw. But if I'm Rob Font, I'm calling out Corey Sandhagen because he ranked right above me, and I think that's a bigger fight, and that fight is a tighter eliminator. If I'm Rob Font, I'm punking. I'm really trying to punk Corey Sandhagen into a fight right now. Who you got, Evan? Dillashaw versus who?
100% with Keys on Rob Font. I've actually, like, pushed for the Rob Font fight for a while.
And then I saw some people talking about him on Twitter. I understand your idea of, you know, pushing for the Sanhagen fight, but Sanhagen coming back and finishing Marlon and then absolutely murdering Frankie, he's definitely fighting for the title next. I think the only fight for Corey Sanhagen besides the title is the TJ Dillashaw fight. And he has stated that he will fight, like he will, you know, put the title fight on the side if the TJ Dillashaw fight is offered. But you know, when it comes to TJ right now, I've seen too many of the articles of him wanting to, you know, wanting the title shot right away. Listen, bud, don't deserve it. It does not. You don't deserve it. It's not happening. Stop even like asking for that because it's just getting annoying at this point. In all honesty. Like, I don't understand. Like, I do understand because it's a business and he wants his belt back. He wants that money back. But, like, is it – am I missing something? Do, like, people – does he just want us to forget that he cheated? Like, he took, like, an enhancing performance drug to get a benefit on the competition. And it wasn't just for the whatever you call it – you know, to get down to 125. They found traces of it in when he fought Cody. So he was using this stuff before, and I don't know how you justify him getting a title shot right off the bat. Oh, well, he never lost the title, so he had it vacated. Yeah, he vacated it due to cheating, dummy. I'm talking to myself over here, but I just can't stand it. I can't stand the cheating. But as the question lies, I 100% say Rob Font. I think Rob Font is the perfect opponent for him to come back to. And I'm not saying that in the sense that Rob Font can't beat him, because Rob Font definitely can. The guy has gotten better and better. And TJ's been out a while to where Rob Font's been active. And I hope they make that fight. I really, really do. So that's my one. Definitely Rob Font.
And the thing to add to that, too, is, you know, I'm looking at the record right now, and it's funny because Lee actually made this same argument about the lightweight division. When we asked who should fight for, we were talking about who should fight for the vacant belt in the lightweight division. What did Lee say? He said, all these guys are 1-1 in their last two fights. So it's hard to make, he said they're all 1-1 their last two fights. So it's hard to make the fight for the vacant title be anybody besides guys that are on win streaks, and that brings you to Dustin Poirier, 2-fight win streak, and Oliveira, who's on like a, I think, 7 or 8-fight win streak. And so, you know, when you use that same logic and you look at the bantamweight, it's the same case. All these guys are 1-1 in their last two fights, besides Rob Font. You know what? He's on a 3-fight win streak, and he's won 4 out of his last 5, 2 finishes, 2 unanimous decisions. Come on now. I think that's the same situation.
And I am going to once again remind my young co-host of the business of the UFC. TJ Dillashaw will fight Jose Aldo when he returns to the octagon. The UFC is all about the casual fan. You get the former bantamweight champion taking on the former featherweight champion in a battle of ex-champions. That is the fight the UFC is going to make. Whether we like it or not, whether Rob Font deserves the fight or not, it will be Jose Aldo versus TJ Dillashaw, because they can sell the fact of two former champions that dominated while they were champions, and that's what they're going to try to sell you on. They're going to try to sell that fight to the casual fan who will only know that they were both former champions, and they're both going to be fighting each other. That is going to be TJ Dillashaw's returning fight. Me personally, I want to go with you guys and say Rob Font, but I think it will most likely be Aldo or Sanhagen. But I'm leaning strongly towards Aldo right now.
You know, real quick before we jump to the next topic, I totally forgot about Aldo, so thank you for bringing that up. But I do remember that there were some – I know we mentioned that, you know, Cody Garbrandt's trying to go down to 125, but he wants a title shot because he was guaranteed it. It was on the poster and then he had to pull out. So there's no point in him cutting the weight for, you know, a knockoff fight. So – but with that being said, I know they're going to do the rematch with, Figgy and Moreno. So I don't think Cody wants to keep waiting. So I did hear that he wanted to fight Aldo, and I believe that he's in camp or something. So I wouldn't be surprised in the upcoming weeks if we see that Cody's going to fight Aldo. And if that does happen, then I really think for TJ's sake, it's better for him to fight Rob Font. No disrespect to Rob Font, but we all know it's just two different things. You know, Rob Font versus Corey Sandhagen. No disrespect, but just some thoughts.
Now that I think about it, go ahead.
No, I think in a way Evan was being disrespectful to Rob Font, but go ahead, Keith.
Well, see, that's why, you know, I had to come back with a rebuttal, because I think in the reverse, it's actually safer for
TJ to fight Sandhagen.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it'd be safer, and any guy who can't take him down. I mean, Sandhagen, and the reason I would say this is because my main point here is I'm angling for my boy Rob Font to get the Dillashaw fight. So the point is, so the reason why I'm about to say this, it sounds a little bit off. I had to think about it for a second, but I think it's also safer for Sandhagen to not take TJ Dillashaw, because this is a guy who is a great wrestler. TJ Dillashaw is a very good wrestler, and we know that if Sandhagen gets taken down, he's not 100% safe. We have seen him get taken down and get into a bad – we have seen him in a dangerous spot before. Not saying that he can't get through it, but I do think that he is better off fighting a guy who is going to welcome standing there and striking with him like Rob Font will. I think Rob Font would try to box him, and I think that is the fight that Sandhagen would prefer for himself if really looking at it. If you're looking at the business, he'd probably want Dillashaw, but if you're looking at what I think is probably the safer fight based on the ways, like based on his losses and his weaker points, I think he would rather have a stand-up fight. So you would take, you wouldn't want to take Dillashaw. I would say that. Whoever he fights, you wouldn't take Dillashaw because he's a big wrestler.
Yeah, I was thinking – see, I'm thinking more of star power, and, you know, and that's why I lean towards Jose. But if what Evan is saying is right, that it's going to be Cody versus Jose, they have to go with a top five guy, and that leaves Rob Font or Corey Sandhagen. I think TJ would probably lean towards taking the Sandhagen fight, which is probably the safer fight, although Sandhagen fights like Dominique Cruz a little bit to me. And I thought Dillashaw beat Dominique Cruz, but that's neither here nor there. But I think he will probably take Sandhagen over Font because of Font's power. So, but look, man, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks, and I'm gonna just jump to a whole different topic on this. The Khabib division, the division that's so on fire right now. Guys that are actually willing to fight each other in that division. I'm going to ask y'all this question. I'm going to go a little bit left with y'all. But my question, Evan.
Yes.
Who will be the king of the one what's that, the 155 division? That's 155?
Yes.
Who would be king of the 155 division at the end of 2021? Who would have the strap?
If everything goes to plan, honestly, I won't be surprised. Be surprised if it's Michael Chandler.
Okay, why?
Because I think it's pretty obvious they're going to do Conor versus Dustin 3, because you know Conor had a built-in excuse, just like Masvidal did. Oh, inactivity. I came in with a boxing stance. He kicked my legs more than I expected. Blah blah blah. You know, just you know, built-in excuses to you know, because I love like you see comments online of people saying the same thing. Oh, he wasn't ready. It was a boxing stance. So let's say that they're gonna do that third fight. Beeb's probably never fighting again. I honestly doubt it. At the end of the day, you're going to have to do Michael Chandler versus Charlie Olives. And I think Chandler wins that fight, for one. And then I don't see – I think if Dustin wins the – if Dustin wins the second – the third fight with Conor, maybe he fights Poirier for the title. But if he doesn't, then and if Conor wins – Conor's definitely going to fight for the title, and I think Michael Chandler will beat Conor, so I'm going to go with Michael Chandler.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, Keys, who you got? King of the 155 division at the end of 2021.
I really don't know, man. I really don't know. It's I've thought about this too, and I really don't know, because I don't even know if these guys are even gonna take the belt off Khabib. Honestly, like it doesn't really sound like there's any rush here. I mean, I think it made it seem like I think he might still be the champion at the end of 2021. Honestly, I think they might not take the belt off him. I know that don't sound good to y'all, but what sound good to really anybody that like watches the sport. I think they might just keep the belt on him until the very like latest they can. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen it before, because you know we saw Cormier hold the belt for like a good year and a half when he had the light heavyweight belt. Lee, we used to talk about that a good amount while it was happening. We've seen, you know, there's a couple other guys too that just like held on to belts and didn't fight. I'm pretty sure Whitaker even held on to the middleweight belt and was out with injuries for a while. And then he didn't fight, so we saw him not fight for, like, you know, 10 months at a time or whatever. And, you know, there's other examples, too, of guys just, you know, keeping belts hostage and just not fighting. But, you know, those are two right there. And I think, you know, end of this year, Khabib still might be the champion. That to me, it seems like roads are leading to that, you know, unless I hear, like, news of a Grand Prix, like Dana White talked about, unless he announces a Grand Prix, you know, to start within the next couple months, then I think Khabib's still going to be the champion, because I don't see them just – I don't see them stripping him of the title. I think Dana's just way too fixated on the idea of him having that 30-0 fight. And I think he's going to wait it out, you know, for as long as he can to try and – see if there's any hope of a Khabib 30-0 fight. So I think, you know, the most likely scenario is the belt still on Khabib at the end of 2021. And I know it doesn't sound good, but if you look at history, it wouldn't be the first time it's happened. And if that happens, he'll have held the belt for a year and 3 months. And actually, if you look at it, I'm pretty sure we saw McGregor hold the lightweight belt for a long stretch like that as well. I'm pretty sure he held the lightweight belt for like a year, probably around the same amount of time, because he won the lightweight belt, and I think it was November or if not December of 2016, and then they didn't officially strip him of the belt until the first punch was thrown in the Khabib and I Kenta fight, which wasn't until, I want to say, sometime in the spring of 2018. I want to say it was March or April 2018. So when you look at that, that was a year. So that's a whole year. That's about a year and 3 months, if not a year and 4 months, that they kept the belt on McGregor. And specifically the lightweight belt, the previous champion, held the belt for a year and 4 months before he was stripped of the title. And it took a lot of things. That took a lot for the UFC to even do that. I think Dana was holding out for him to come back, too, for that same, you know, kind of hope that he has with Khabib right now. So I think that's the most likely scenario, is Khabib still has the belt at the end of the year.
Man, you stole my answer. You stole my answer. So I'm going to go another way. And I'm going to go a way that you and Evan will probably be like, wow, I can't believe Lee said that. I'm going with Conor, man. I think the UFC will find a way to put the belt on Conor at the end of the year. And the reason being is because of something that Evan tweeted out. Well, I ain't going to say tweeted out, that he put in our group chat today, this week, about Conor and pay-per-view buys. The UFC understands business. Right now, they are in the business form for this sport. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to find a way to have Conor as a champion by the end of this year. I think he's going to – I see him maybe beating Dustin in the trilogy fight. I see him having a different game plan. I see him probably beating Dustin in the trilogy fight. I see maybe Chandler fighting Oliveira. And I like Chandler in that fight. And I see Conor beating him, man. I don't know why I feel that way, but I see Conor getting himself into ultimate condition with the right frame of mind. And I see Conor beating Chandler and Conor being the champion at the end of 2021. That's how I think it plays out, bro. I was going to say Khabib, but Key stole that answer, so I had to switch up on the fly. And I'm going with Conor McGregor, man. I know you guys are probably shocked because everybody know I'm not the biggest Conor fan, but I just think I think he finds a way to be the champion at the end of 2021.
But you know, it makes sense, you know. If Conor can win that third fight, and honestly, at this point, you know, by the time they booked that fight, they might be trying to do some backstage crap, you know, where they're trying to get Khabib to, you know, vacate the belt so they can put the title on the line. But we'll see. But all right, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
I got Conor. Yeah. He's got Khabib, and
Evan
has Chandler. So we shall see what happens in this very, very stacked and very, very exciting division. Probably the best division out there right now. And the only division where all the top guys are fighting each other. So, and I like that.
I agree.
All right, we got about 10 minutes left. So let me ask, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say if we got 10 minutes left, then, you know, might as well save the last 10 minutes just to talk about the main event for this weekend, because not for nothing, but the rest of the card is kind of well, besides Jimmy Rivera and Pedro Munhoz, it's not weak names, I feel, for us to break down. Let's put it that way.
Oh, there is a fight this weekend, huh?
Yes, yeah, the game, Zero Game versus Rosenstrike.
All right. So let's jump into it, man. Let's go with It's another. All right, let's go with Jimmy Rivera versus Pedro Munhoz. Who you got, Evan?
Jimmy. I am super duper biased to anyone that fights at a Team Tiger Showman's. I actually met Jimmy Rivera too. Super nice guy. You know, I got Jimmy. I think he's still a top five fighter. He looked really good against Cody Stamann. And if you notice, they kept just yelling at him to let his hands go. He's so much better than he's showing. And some people just need that time to, kind of just get through a few of the bumps. He's 23-4. He was 19-1 when he fought Faber and had a great performance. And then he fought Thomas Almeida. And then he got the fight against Marlon, and Marlon kicked his head off, and it happens. And then he's had some strings of bad luck. You know, he fought Piotr Jan, which apparently was a close fight. And then he fought Aljamain Sterling, which Aljamain, beat him up. So, he's been unlucky as of late, but he's still young, 31 years old, and I think perfect fight for him. I think he's going to, he's on, the one fight win streak, and I think he gets the W here. I'm going to go with decision for the win, and we'll see what happens. But 100% got Jimmy.
Kings, who you got, Munhoz or Jimmy?
So I was just looking at his record to fact check that, and he was on I knew that it was true. I just wanted to get the exact number. Jimmy Rivera went on a 20-fight win streak.
God damn.
He started his career, I think, the first fight of his career he won. The second fight of his career he lost. So he started his first two pro fights. He went 1-1. And from that, after that second fight where he lost, he went on to win 20 consecutive fights. Up to the point where he fought Marlon Moraes. At that time, he was 20. He had a record of 21-1 riding that 20-fight win streak, and he got caught by Marlon. I think at that point, I mean, when you're on a 20-fight win streak, I mean, the only other guy that we can reference, I mean, the only one that I can reference off the top of my head is Adesanya, who's also on a 20-fight win streak right now. And like being like that level of like, I can imagine where your mind's at when you've won 20 straight fights. Like, I feel like you would just kind of start to feel invincible at that point. And that's actually another variable that I'm going to want to talk about when we get to the UFC 259 card, and never mind that, but I'm going to get back to that. But so I would think that Jimmy Rivera probably started to feel, a sense of invincibility with that. You know, winning 20 fights in a row is, I don't think it's hard to, I don't think it's too crazy to say he might have felt a little bit lax. You know, even though the competition level was going up, I think subconsciously, like he might have felt like, I'm the best guy. I'm the best at this. I mean, winning that's a long win streak, there's really not many other win streaks like that out there. There's not a lot of guys who do things like that, and only a select few, and the rest of them all get big praise, and no one ever talks about Jimmy Rivera's 25 win streak. You hardly ever hear about that. And both of them have kind of been losing to the top guys. I mean, they both fought out my boy Aljo. They both lost by decision to Aljo. Pedro Munhoz lost to Frankie Edgar. I didn't see that fight, but Munhoz looked really good for a time, but then he went on a little run there for a little bit, but I think the Cody fight, I mean, he fought Cody when Cody wasn't in the right mental state. I think that win, I mean, it was a good win regardless, but I think Cody's coming back around. I don't think you're going to see Cody get caught like that much going forward, if at all. And, I'm going to go with Jimmy Rivera. I think Jimmy Rivera's arriving back into that space. I think those two losses humbled him. You know, he was at the top of the heap, and I think he might have felt that sense of invincibility a little bit. I think he might have got a bit lax, you know, in the subconscious, and he might have started feeling like he was floating, you know, in those fights. You know, that might sound a little bit you know, tinfoil hat-ish, but I think that might have been the case. And I think those two losses, you know, both the stoppage and the decision losses, you know, brought him back down to earth. And I think he's going to look good in this fight. I think Jimmy Rivera, I think it'll be a competitive fight, though. I think Jimmy Rivera by unanimous decision.
I did not know this was a rematch. Munoz lost to Jimmy Rivera back in 2015. By split decision. I didn't know that this was a rematch. It doesn't sway me from my pick. Oh, man. I'm going with Rivera. I think Rivera's a better fighter. So, being all three of us pick Rivera, that means Munoz is going to win. But I like Rivera in this fight because I like the way he makes him laugh. I like the way he looked in his last fight. He looked more confident. He wasn't scared to let his hands go. He just like a different guy. Munoz lost his last two fights, although it was against good competition. He's still on the two-fight loser streak, and he's lost to Rivera before. So I'm going with Rivera to win this fight by unanimous decision. I think he dominates this fight. And he looks better in this fight than he did in his last fight. All right, moving to the main event. Keys, coming to you first on this. We got Rozenstruik versus your boy, Surreal Gang. Who you got?
So, I mean, not obvious here, but you know, looking at these two guys, I gotta pull up Rozenstruik, you know, because I feel like every time I pick against Rozenstruik, Evan says he's gonna win, and then Rozenstruik wins. That didn't happen with the Ngannou fight. I think Evan actually picked Ngannou though to win that too.
Hope so.
And yeah, Rozenstruik got thrashed by Ngannou. That was terrible. But I gotta look him up real quick. I gotta see his record because I don't really remember who else he fought. I know he fought after that. Most positive, Rozenstruik fought after the Ngannou fight and he won.
He fought JDM.
I just don't remember who. Oh yeah, yeah, he fought. Oh what? Oh wow, he fought a month later. He got KO'd by Ngannou and fought literally a month later. So he must have had that was a really short camp. Wow, he took a short camp and fought JDS and then knocked him out in the, wow. Okay, so,
well,
I mean, one thing I.
He lost in Ngannou in 20 seconds, so.
What was that? Okay, so yeah, 20 seconds, a short camp. Yeah, so he probably didn't need that much time. I mean, right when he came out, he was. Right after after that fight, he came out and he was like, I want to get right back in there. Like, I feel good and all this. I remember him saying that. And he I would say he's arguably fought the better competition, too. Surreal Gang's only fought 7 pro fights. So, I mean, but then again, Rozenstruik's only 11-1. Both these guys are roughly inexperienced guys. You know, I think Rozenstruik, I mean, from what I've seen in his fights, he very much likes to pick his shots. I think this fight is going to be. We always see knockouts in heavyweight fights, but this seems like one of those ones to me where it's like you really have two guys who really like are not gonna go in there and chase each other. I don't think either one of them are gonna do that. Rozenstruik likes to pick his fights. He kind of wants to sit back and see what you're gonna do, but he remains active. You know, he lands while just kind of seeing what's going on. And Surreal Gang kind of does that too, but you know he has the I believe a kickboxing background. Yeah, I believe he's from a big kickboxing background. I think he has a pretty successful kickboxing record as well. I don't know it offhand, but he does throw a ton of leg kicks, and I think that's something that and a lot of kicks overall. I think that's something that Rozenstruik has to be ready for. If Rozenstruik isn't preparing to send this fight, he's going to lose. And if Cyril Gane doesn't be wary of Rozenstruik's power, then he could very well get finished. So, but I don't know. Evan, what do you think? Evan, you go.
My first prediction, when like this fight was made, I immediately said Cyril Gane. I just think he's just an anomaly for a heavyweight. You know, like he jumps around kind of like Wonder Boy. You know, he keeps a very fast, you know, fast foot. He's never like flat footed, which is like typical heavyweight. And you look at him and the size of him, and you're like, oh, he's a KO artist. No, I think he's. This is a rough, you know, a guess. But I think he has more submissions in the UFC than he has knockouts. I even think he has more submissions in his career than he has knockouts. Let's see if I'm right. It's actually a tie. He's got 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, and 1 decision. He's like the ultimate package of a heavyweight. You know, he can strike. He can has great movement. He can submit you. And I believe he's, he fought JDS, which was his toughest opponent to date. So this is an interesting one. But then on the other hand, you know, we have Rozenstruik, who has big wins as well. He's got the Overeem win. And that punch was, you know, even though that was a question, it was a weird stoppage and all that stuff, that punch was powerful and that split that lip. So, you know, that speaks volume for his, you know, his brand of a fighter. And immediately after getting KO'd by Francis, he comes back and knocks out JDS. And he did it better than Cyril Gane did, because Cyril, you know, the controversy of the behind the ear, behind the head, elbow, whatever, it's a perfect fight. I think, to your point, Keys, that Rozenstruik likes to pick his shots, and I think he waits too long, and I think that will be his downfall. I think Cyril Gane will be light on his feet as usual, and he will find that shot, and he's going to put Rozenstruik down. But, you know, at the end of the day, we will see what happens. It's MMA, and you cannot be so sure, as we saw last week at heavyweight. Nothing is for sure. Anything can happen. So very excited that we are getting another back-to-back heavyweight fight. My pick will be Cyril Gane by – I really don't see this fight going 5 rounds. So I'm going to say a second-round knockout for Cyril Gane.
Man, I was going to pick Cyril Gane too, because I'm looking at the stats. He has takedown average 1.08, and takedown accuracy is 60%. That's awesome. But I'm going to take Rozenstruik, man. I saw what Curtis Blaydes did last week, and I saw what Derek Lewis did to Curtis Blaydes last week, and that's in my head. And I think the same thing happens to Cyril Gane this week. I think going for a shoot or a takedown, he gets caught, and Rozenstruik catches on one of the powerful shots and knocks him out, I'm going to say, in the second round. But if Rozenstruik can't defend the takedown, I see him getting submitted. Rozenstruik would definitely need his takedown defense would need to be top-notch in this fight. It would need to be better than Ngannou's was when the first time he fought Stipe. So this fight could go either way, but I'm going to go with Rozenstruik. I think he catches Cyril Gane, probably coming in for a takedown, and he catches him probably in the second round. But would I be surprised if Cyril Gane taps him out? No, I won't. But I'm going to go with Rozenstruik in this fight.
Okay. So after listening to those two testimonials, I will have made my pick, and I'm going. Dude's always laughing. So I made my pick. Cyril Gane's going to win the fight. He's going to – he has a lot more, to throw at Rozenstruik than vice versa. Evan makes a good point. You know, Rozenstruik arguably takes too long to takes too long to land some of those, you know, big power shots. And it takes him a long time to find those shots. And I think in this one, I mean, I don't think it would go five rounds. I mean, I know I believe Rozenstruik can go five rounds, so I don't see why not. I believe Cyril Gane will go five rounds, no problem. He's very fit guy. And I see, you know, he has never gone five rounds before, but I think this fight could go five rounds. And in that case, I mean, I'm going to go Cyril Gane, I'll go unanimous decision. I think it'll be a five-round fight.
Not going to happen.
Cyril Gane, unanimous decision.
Wow.
And if there's a TKO, if there's a TKO, Rozenstruik will get TKO'd off the strength that he is falling victim to what a lot of guys in the UFC have been falling victim to lately, and that is not dealing with leg kicks properly and taking too much damage to his legs. And I think if he does, that will be the deciding factor of – that will be where all the pain is distributed to, will be in his legs. And I don't think he will be able to stand up anymore, you know. And it'll either be that he's so immobilized by the fact that he can't walk in the fight because he's had his legs kicked off so bad and really didn't account for that he gets caught with a shot up top, he gets put away, or possibly his corner stops the fight because he can't fight any longer because his legs are going to be gone. So I think and I think that's probably the more likely scenario. If the fight gets stopped, I think Rozenstruik's corner stops it because he can't fight any longer with the damage that he takes to his legs. But my first pick is the unanimous decision for a game.
Five rounds. Okay.
We just saw five rounds with Rozenstruik and Overeem. They both looked fine going five rounds. Overeem got caught in the last like 2 seconds of the fight. He was on his way to a decision. So I don't feel.
Where?
And if you look at Cyril Gane, he's like a young Overeem. If you really look at him, if you look at his build, that's how Overeem was. Real athletic heavyweight. I don't see any problem with him going five rounds. Not these two guys.
Nah, we're gonna have a. We're gonna have a chat in the group chat about this. This is unacceptable. I do not want to see heavyweights go five rounds unless it's Stipe in DC because they actually like their five rounds is actually like a fun five rounds. But no, because the only reason I'm saying this is because Cyril Gane, his style is a lot of fun, so I would have no problem watching him. But my problem is Rozenstruik, because if you go back and watch his fight with JDS, yes, he got the knockout, but prior to the knockout, the fight was quite boring because it was just so slow. As we talked about before, Rozenstruik picks his shots, and he picked it, and he got the finish, but it just took way too long for my liking. And JDS, please retire. Like, that's something that I don't know if that's been said yet, but like, for the love of anything, like, holy, please, like, you're done. You, Overeem, Verdum, Kane, just all the, you know, all the, I want to say older generation of heavyweights, but like, just stop taking damage for no point. Like, he's been knocked out like in his last 3-4 fights. So totally off topic, but just had to get that out there.
Hey, sometimes you got to protect these guys against themselves, especially as they start getting up there in age and start taking unnecessary punishment or too much punishment. I agree with you on that, Evan. But Rozenstruik to me is like another version of Derek Lewis. His output is going to be minimal,
But if he catches you, his 90-night show's over. But he's one of them guys where he's never going to win a fight on a judge's scorecard because he doesn't have enough output to me. So that's why he has to that's why he has to finish fights. But yeah, it went over a lot tonight. Next Wednesday, we definitely got to jump on for the big pay per view next week. UFC 259. I can't wait until we dive into that card because we got three title fights. We got Dominique Cruz on the prelims. I think it's gonna be an awesome. Night. But like I said, we'll jump into that next Wednesday, hopefully at 6:30. Hey, just stay tuned. But any last word from you, Evan?
No, man, just happy we got on tonight. This was a lot of fun. You know, love chopping it up with you guys. Love breaking down the fights. I am also agreeing with you. I cannot wait to break down next week's pay-per-view. There is so much more on that card than just the three title fights, which when we get to that pay-per-view, we will be talking about my issues with a three title fight pay-per-view. We'll save that for later. But yes, can't wait. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. And yeah, can't wait for next week.
All right, Keys, any last words?
No, nothing much. Just thank you to common listeners who listen to our show. I know we haven't been as frequent lately. I'm kind of going through a lot of stuff, but you know, thank you for our listeners who check in with our show and have supported us over this time. You know, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's this episode 188. So, once again, thanks you guys for jumping on tonight. I know it's kind of short notice, but we'll definitely be back next Wednesday. If not next Wednesday, maybe the fight day show, but we'll figure that out. But hey, everybody have a good evening. Stay safe. You know, wear a mask, practice social distancing, and all that good stuff. Hey, man, it's always good to jump up here with my two guys, Evan and Keys, man. It's always fun, and I just enjoy doing this show so much. Everybody have a good evening. As in always in 2021, positive people with positive energy yield positive results. That being said, everybody have a good evening. Peace.